Thank you for your word, Lord, and how precious it is to us. You just continue to amaze us, Lord. So show us yourself this morning through your word, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Genesis, where are we? Chapter 13. There we are. We saw the last time Abraham and his family go down to Egypt. And they were exposed as the Lord does that work and asked to leave politely and gently, but they were asked to leave. And so it says in verse 1 of chapter 13 that Abram went up out of Egypt. So notice in the last chapter in verse 10 it said Abram went down into Egypt. Notice here it says Abram went up out of Egypt. Whenever you come out of the things of the world, you're always going up. You're always being raised up. When you leave the presence of the Lord, when you leave His grace, His mercy, and enter into something else, you always go down. But now he's up out of the world, coming back into the land that the Lord has showed him, that he had promised to him. And it says, Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot was with him, into the south. Lot, his nephew, Lot, his brother's son, and they had come into that place back in Canaan, back in the land that the Lord had promised to him. And it says that Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. Habakkuk tells us that it's a heavy load. When we come back into much riches, it says it's almost like thick clay, which is hard to handle, hard to hold on to, heavy to pick up, hard to deal with. And that's what riches are sometimes. If we let those take the presence of the Lord away from us, if we let those become our idol, those become a heavy thing for us rather than something that's wonderful and light. It tells us this in Proverbs 10, verse 22. It says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. So the blessing of the Lord, the riches that the Lord gives, have no sorrow with it. There's no heaviness with that. There's no increase in burden with that. It's a freedom. It's something that sets us free instead of something that becomes hard and heavy for us. So we always want to look for those blessings of the Lord rather than the riches of the world. There's nothing wrong with the riches of the world unless they come to that place of becoming our idol, unless they become something that's heavy for us and hurtful and drags us down. So we always want to keep looking for the things of the Lord. And in Abraham, it doesn't seem like it matters a whole lot to him. He's looking for the things of the Lord. He's coming to that place where he's entering back into where the Lord has brought him. And so it says in verse 3 that he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, the house of God, under the place where he had his tent, where his tent had been at the beginning. When he first came in, remember, he was at that place between Bethel and Ai. He pitched his tent there between the house of God and the heap of ruin. Don't want to be in the heap of ruin. We want to be in that place where the house of God is, where it's a place of blessing rather than a place of ruin. But he's still dwelling in tents. He's not making a permanent abode. And it tells us in Hebrews that the reason he did that was because he was looking for a city whose builder was God. He wasn't going to dwell in any place here on this earth. He was always on the move. He was a pilgrim and a sojourner, which is what we are. We're just in this world for a short time. We're just transversing between birth and death and going home to the Lord. We're not here for a very long time. I don't know if you've noticed how quick life has gone. It is swift and it is quick and it goes so fast. And it's already, my hyacinths are already drying up and folding up. And it's just like, come on, they just came out. What do you mean they're already drying up? It can't be that far into spring, but with the coldness this morning, we already had summer last week, so we're back into fall again. So, okay, we're just kidding. We know the climate change is going on, but not that fast. But things are going quickly, and we need to keep our focus as we realize how quick those things pass before us. So he's at that place where he was at the beginning, and it says in verse 4, he came to that place of the altar which he had made there at the first. Remember when he came to Bethel and he pitched his tent between Bethel and Ai, he had built an altar. Abram was an altar builder. He was a worshiper. He was in that place where he realized that God was leading him, God was taking care of him, and in that place he always built altars because he was a man who worshiped. And certainly for us, the application is easy. We should be people who worship, not worship the things that he gives us, but worship the one who gives us those things. We want to worship God, the true and the living God. And so he comes to the place where the altar was. He remembered that there he worshiped. And so he comes to that place, and it says that there Abram called on the name of the Lord. He came back to that place. And isn't it interesting? And you really need to take note that in chapter 12, as he came into Egypt, there is nowhere in that chapter where it says that Abram called on the name of the Lord, or he worshiped, or he built an altar. You can't build an altar in the place of the world. Those can only be reserved for the things that God has for us. And as we look at this world that we're looking at, we see how quickly it's coming to that place where it's going to overtake us. There was an article that we saw the other day. Wegmans is now entering into the new age. in Pittsburgh and in Amherst, they're bringing out carts that are called smart carts. And the smart carts are there as you take your groceries off the shelf and put them in your cart, it automatically rings them up. It knows what you're putting into the cart. And you can check out your whole grocery order at your cart. And whenever you hear the word smart, don't think it's smart. It's there to track you. It's tracking you. We have smart meters that our G&E is putting in. Sorry, Steve. I'm bashing your company, but that's all right. The smart meters are there to tell them how much electricity you're using. And in China, they track that almost the same way. And if you use too much, it takes away from your digital code and it shuts it off for you. And if you eat too much food or the wrong kinds of food, it cuts off your account. Guess where we're coming to? Hello. They're watching you. Isn't it amazing that there in the world is going to monitor what you want to use. The Lord gives, it says, freely to us all that we need to have in this world. It doesn't monitor you for what you use or don't use. The Lord looks at you and looks at us as worshipers of who he is, image bearers of who he is. The world wants to track you and control you. The Lord wants to set you free. And whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. So come to that place of just worshiping the Lord. We're entering into strange times. We've never been there before. but we always need to be people who worship and to keep God in focus, keep him at the forefront of our hearts and our minds. And it says in verse 5, because we know as soon as we start worshiping again, as soon as we start coming away from the things of the world and enter back into that place where the Lord is, that there's going to be an altercation, there's going to be problems, there's going to be issues that come to the forefront. And sometimes it's family. We all know how that is. So Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great so that they could not dwell together. Notice what it doesn't say about Lot, that he came to worship at the altar. It doesn't seem like there was any worship going on. We see later on in Peter that there is that place where he is a righteous man. He's come after the things of the Lord, but he's going about it all the wrong way. and we see what he's going to do, but there's no worship that's there. And how important that must be for us, that the Lord would leave that section out, that Lot would worship, and the trouble that comes because of that. So Lot, which went with Abram, he had all this stuff too, and the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was so great that they could not dwell together. Riches are starting to cause strife. And that is just an amazing thing to me, that riches could cause that much strife. But as they become our idol, as they become something that overtakes us, it comes more and more to the forefront. It tells us this in verse 10 of chapter 13 in the book of Proverbs, "Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom." And we see one man who has the wisdom, one man who has contention. Abraham is going to have wisdom. Lot is going to have contention, because here comes pride. We see it from the beginning in the garden. First came the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life comes to Eve and Adam as Satan tempts them, and they fall into sin. And he hasn't changed anything. He only has to offer those things to everybody in the world. And we're either going to grab a hold of them and use them, or we're going to stay free from those things and walk with the Lord. But here comes contention. Here's the pride of life for Lot. He's got riches, and it's causing strife. The riches are causing strife in his life, and he's taking it out on Abram. So the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. So the enemy is there in the land, and they're starting to see all the things that are there and wanting those things. And so Abram said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife." Look at who comes first. The man of God comes to the man who's causing strife, to the one who's causing contention. And that should be you and I. Have we offended you in some way? We go to the one that we're having trouble with. Is there something I've done to cause this problem? We should be the first ones to enter into that conversation, not to cause more strife, but to deal with those things and to get over those things. And either those things are going to be gotten over with, or there's going to be separation. And we see what happens with Lot and Abram. And so Abram says to Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and your herdmen, because we're brothers. Is not the whole land before thee? So separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If you will take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." And here Abram humbles himself and brings himself under and submits himself to those that are around him. It tells us this in Ephesians chapter 5. Humble yourselves and bring yourself into that place where we submit each other to those that are around us. And what we have to realize is Abram did not have to do this. He was the elder. He was the head of the family. He could have dictated to Lot where he was to go. If there's contention with this Lot, we can separate. But I'm taking the best part. You're getting out of town. He didn't do that. He humbled himself and said, "Lot, you pick first." Isn't that amazing? Wasn't he afraid that he would get shafted? Isn't he afraid that he would be taken advantage of? He trusted the Lord. Because remember, he came back to that place and started worshiping. And as his relationship with the Lord was restored and he was back in that place of walking with the things of the Lord, he wasn't worried about what he was going to have or not have. He was more concerned with restoring people to fellowship with the Lord than he was what he was going to get. And for you and I, we don't have to worry about somebody walking all over us, using us as a doormat, because who's taking care of us? God. God's going to take care of us. If we humble ourselves before the Lord and before others, he's going to take care of us. Ugh. And sometimes that's hard to do because we think that we deserve it. Well, I'm above 65. I deserve my Social Security. Guess what? you may not have it for long. So who do we trust then? Lord, you got to take care of me. I don't have anything. I don't have anywhere to go. You're the one that's going to direct me. That's why worship becomes so important. So separate ourselves. If we can't get along, then let's separate. And if you want to go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you want to go to the right, then I'll go to the left. It doesn't matter, but let's just separate and get some space between us. But my heart is that we would work this out. Lot lifted up his eyes. So here comes the lust of the eyes. He doesn't lift his eyes to heaven. Oops. He hits his microphone. He doesn't lift his eyes to heaven. He lifts his eyes far enough to see what's in front of him. So he's walking by sight. He's not walking by faith. And here comes the lust of the eyes. So we've got the pride of life. Now we've got the lust of the eyes. He lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, and it was well watered everywhere. So he was looking for something that was lush. He was looking for something that was productive. He was looking for something that would benefit him. Instead of looking to see where the Lord wanted him, he was looking to see what he wanted. And that's so dangerous for us, because we see people leaving churches all the time. Well, I don't like this. I'm going somewhere else. Instead of the Lord telling them where to go, they were looking to see what they wanted. Because sometimes God puts us in places that we don't really want, but that he knows are the best thing for us. And we have to look to him for it. Lord, you direct my ways. You direct my path. You show me where I need to be. If I need to stay in this house, Lord, instead of selling it and getting a bigger house and building bigger barns, then, Lord, keep me in this place. But do we pray about those things, or do we just see the advantage that we can get? Then comes the lust of the eyes. Lord, I can get more if I move here. Lord, I can get more if I go to this church. Instead of being in a place where the Lord has us, he looks on his own. So the lust of the eyes takes over. There's no direction from the Lord. There's just a direction by sight. And it was well watered before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, lush and fresh and full, and like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And that Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves from one another. So here comes the lust of the flesh. He sees with his eyes the things that he wants, and so what does he do? He goes to claim it. He goes to that place where he can grab a hold of it. So the lust of the flesh then comes in and takes him to a place that God has never told him to go. So that all the things of the enemy have come before him, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and he enters into that place without any counsel from the Lord, any counsel from believers, anything that would direct him in the right way. And the application is very simple for us. Be careful of what you're choosing. Make sure it's God that's showing us. So Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Notice in verse 10, it says, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord's already warning. These things are going to burn. The things that you're grabbing a hold of, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh that you're grabbing a hold of, those things are going to burn. The only thing that's going to last is the things of the Lord. But those things can have such a hold on us, because we're going to see Lot. He ends up being in Sodom and Gomorrah, right? He ends up going to that place, and the angel almost has to drag him out of the city before the Lord destroys it. Because it has such a hold on him that he didn't want to leave it. He was so afraid to leave what he had that he held on to it tightly. And for us, we need to hold on to the world lightly. Don't hold on tight to the things of this world, because they're not going to last and they aren't going to benefit us. They're only going to hurt us. Abram just dwelled in the land. He was content to be where he was. He wasn't looking for anything else. He wasn't asking the Lord, well, if he gets this, what do I get, Lord? He was just content with what the Lord had already given him. So he just stayed where he was. He stayed where he was until the Lord spoke to him to move. Unlike Lot, who moved on his own emotions, his own feelings, what he desired. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, look at the change that's going on here. We come in, we see where Lot's going. Abram's content to stay where he was, and he's in a separated life. He's separated to the things of the Lord. He's separated to the ways of the Lord. And it wasn't until the Lord takes Lot out of his life and moves him on that the Lord speaks to him. And again, we look at it and we realize, Lord, I need to have a separated life. Because if I'm not separated unto you, then the things of the world are going to call me and they're going to have a hold on me that I don't want them to have. And maybe the Lord isn't speaking to us because we're facing towards Sodom and Gomorrah rather than being content with where God has got us in the land of Canaan. Maybe we're trying to put a hold on the things of the world and just be Christian by name only instead of just being separated completely and given over to the things of the Lord. But it wasn't until Lot was taken away from him that the Lord speaks to Abram. This separated life, this man who was content with what God had given him, wasn't looking for anything more, and just waiting on the things of the Lord, waiting for God to speak to him. So the Lord says unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, as the separation takes place, then the Lord speaks to him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place that you are northward and southward and eastward and westward. Lot looks eastward and goes. The Lord looks at Abram and says, look north, south, east, and west, because I'm going to give it all to you. What Lot chose was just a little bit of something in one direction. The Lord looks at Abram and says, look all around you, because I'm going to give it all to you. I've got so much more than what the enemy wants to give to you. I'm going to give you abundantly above all that you could ask or think. Isn't it amazing what a separated life can do? What a walk with the Lord can do? He can bless us more abundantly than the things of the world can ever provide for us. For all the land that you see, to thee will I give it. Notice, you don't have to buy it. You don't have to earn it. I'm going to give it to you, Abram. You don't have to worry about how much money you have in the bank and what your mortgage rates are going to be. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to take care of it for you. And we get so worried about all those things, don't we? Well, how much can my budget afford? Cha-ting, cha-ting, cha-ting. And that was before they doubled your assessment on your houses and your taxes went up $300-$400 a piece. Oh, now what do? Now I got to go get a second job to pay for this. And those things just keep mounting up. The world just keeps mounting up things that they're going to take away from you, and the Lord wants to give it to you freely. As we're content in who He is, content with what He's given us, He just multiplies peace upon us and just gives us all that we need. So lift up your eyes now. Abram wasn't lifting up his eyes to look for anything. He was just worshiping the Lord. The Lord has to tell him, lift up your eyes, because I'm going to show you things that you can't even imagine that I'm going to give to you. For all the land that you see will I give it to you and your seed forever, and I will make your seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Amazing what he shows Abram in the midst of all this, that I have so much more for you. You're going to have kids that are going to number. You won't even be able to count them. You know, I have a hard time even remembering all our grandkids' names. Certainly their birthdays. That's why I have to write everything down. And it's just, really? They're getting this? How old? And yet he's going to have kids as the dust of the earth. And God knew each and every one of them that was going to come into the line of Abram. He says, Abram, you're going to be so blessed. You aren't even going to be able to count all the blessings that I have for you. As we realize what God has given us, you realize you have eternity in front of you. We can't count the years because it's never ending. We have a hope and a future with the true and the living God that we can't even imagine. We're going to be around the throne with an innumerable company of heaven, the angels, the beasts, that might look strange to us, but we're all going to be worshiping together, and we can't even imagine how that's going to be. The blessings he has for us, we haven't even tasted much of yet. We see them in Scripture, and we think about them a little bit, and we imagine in our own minds what it's going to be like, but it's so far above what we can think, because our minds are so finite, and his is so infinite. Streets of gold. Men are out there scrambling to buy gold, scrambling to get riches of the world. And he says, I'm just going to take those riches and throw them down on the ground, and you're going to walk on them, because I've got things that are better for you than that. You think you can keep yourself with your 401k? He says, I've got a retirement plan that's so much better than that. You can't even imagine. And not only that, I'm going to give you robes of righteousness to wear in the kingdom, because you can't even earn it, because your robes are filthy. I'm going to take those robes off of you, and I'm going to give you a robe of righteousness. I'm going to give you clothing for heaven. I'm going to give you a new body to fit into those robes. We won't need 4Xs anymore. He's going to give us a perfect body for heaven, whatever it is. You know, I don't need to get fitted for hats. He's going to give me everything that I need. Oh, Lord, this is too amazing. It's too much for me to understand. And yet that is what he's got for us in the midst. He talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. Love, and then gives all the description of it. You know, joy, peace, patience, kindness, temperance. All those things coming out of that one issue of love that he gives us. And that's better than all the riches that the world can offer us. And as we have that, as we walk in the truth of that, it just frees us from the bondage that the world wants to put on us. And Abraham now is so free, he's content just to dwell in a tent and wait for the Lord to do what he's going to do. Isn't it great what worship can do? Oh, so amazing. And I'm going to give you so many kids, you won't have to remember their birthdays or give every one of them a present, because I'm going to take care of them for you. So arise. So rise up, Abram. I want you to rise up from where you are right now. I want you to rise up from that place that you are right now. And I want you to walk in the truth that I'm going to give you. See, it takes action on our part. It takes a response on our part. I want you to rise up above these things. And we go, okay, and what does the enemy want to do? He wants to knock us down, keep us in despair, keep us despondent, keep us walking by sight instead of by faith, to keep us in a place where all we can see is the awfulness of the world instead of seeing the beauty of our God above it. He says, arise and then walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I'm going to give it to you. So the second time he says, I'm going to give you this. And it tells us in Deuteronomy, at the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established. He says this twice, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. The matter's established for Abraham that he's going to get what God wants for him. And what God wants for us is always good. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre. Mamre means fatness, the fatness of the world, the richness of the world, which is in Hebron. Hebron means union. So there's going to be plenty in the land of union with you and me. And what did he do? There he built an altar unto the Lord. He comes to that place, as the Lord speaks to him, as the Lord ministers to him, of a place of worshiping once again. And oh, how sweet that can be for you and I, as we realize the Lord brings us from glory to glory. He brings us from faith to faith. He brings us to a place of walking with him, to a different way of walking with him. But it always leads to the same thing, worship of who he is. We were created to worship. We were made to worship. We worship in a lot of ways. We worship with our speech. We worship with our giving. We worship with our singing. We worship in our prayer. We worship as we fellowship, because we're giving everything to our God who deserves it. Worship is necessary for us as human beings, because we were created to worship. So as we come today, I think it's just really important for us to realize that worship can mean more than what we have right now. we may be worshipers right now, but are we worshiping the way that the Lord has for us? And are we separated enough for the Lord to speak to us? Or do we still have a hold on the things of the world, and the things of the world are blocking our hearing? It's interesting in Revelation, as the Lord speaks to the seven churches, to every one of them, he says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says." And if we're holding on to the things of the world, or holding on and being tied down by the things of the world, if we're under control of the things of the world, if the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life has taken us away from walking in the truth of God and seeing what he has for us, and instead of seeing that, we see all that the world is doing, then we can't hear what God is saying. We really need to be separated beings, and I think especially in the days that we're in, we're going to need that more and more. God is so far above the things of the world, so far above the control of the world. He doesn't want to control you. He wants to set you free, but set you free to worship him, because that's the best place for us. So, Father, as we come, Lord, we come with hearts that are distracted. We come with the distractions of the world and even the distractions of our own life, and sometimes the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes get in our way, and yet we want to come and worship you, Lord. And, Father, we do that best as we remember what you've done for us. So as we prepare our hearts to take communion, Lord, that you would just minister to us in that place where we would have your heart and know your way and desire you above everything, that we would come to that place of just realizing that you have a better way for us, Lord. So, Father, if you've spoken to our hearts this morning and you've showed us that we're tied down by something in the world, by something that the world has to offer, rather than by what you want to give us, Lord, help us to lift our eyes higher than what we see and walk by faith. And so as we prepare our hearts, Lord, just speak to us and minister to us in the midst and set us free just to worship you for who you are and not for what we can get from you. Please, Lord, fulfill your ways in us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.